world didn't give it to me. The world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away.
Had to wear a heart monitor before and stuck it in my pocket. I thought, I'm trying to monitor my heart. You know, I'm like Brother Durham. It's not a good feeling to have the wind knocked out of your sails medically, you know. But I started not to get up, and I thought, you know, I may not get to say nothing for the rest of this year. And I might not order to say nothing anyway. You know, or say, maybe I'll just sit down here and listen. Because I can learn a lot. But you know, I am glad that God saw fit to bring me this way. Because I, as a kid, as a child, and I can understand the young people. If you're a year younger than I am, you're a young person. You know, you're pretty young, and the world will pull on you, and there's a lot of gadgets out there. You know, there's a lot more gadgets out there than they were when I was a kid. you know. About the only thing we played with was took a stick and you rolled a ring down the road, you know, and then you rolled it back. Or played kick the can. And the only thing we had for cell phones was take two cans and tie a string between them. And the harder you pulled, the further they'd talk. You know, two soup cans. And so they got cell phones that'll reach around the world. You know, this technology has went a long way. And I was fascinated by that. I really was. But I'm not really a gadget person, I guess you might say. But, you know, what fascinated me, and of course, you know, I've been told I could tear up an anvil, and that's about right, I can. But, you know, I say all that is because God's protected me and kept me all these years. And He's done me good. He's done me good. He's done things to me that I've murmured and I've complained and I've said all these things, you know. But all in all, He has been very good to me. He's blessed me. He's done things. You know, I say that when I was a kid, even in school, I was ridiculed. And, you know, but that didn't bother me. It's because I didn't feel like I was bullied or anything, because I could care less whether you like me or not. You know, I got to that point where I didn't have to have you around me if you didn't like me. You didn't have to associate with me, because in 5 minutes, I could be doing something, and 10 minutes later, I could be doing something else, and I'd be involved in it, you know. It's not that I was wishy-washy, but it was just that I was interested in things that went on. And in a sense, that's good. You know, just know what the world and how it worked. And like Brother Smith was saying today, well, there's a lot of things in this world that are very interesting. It's good to learn about geography and geometry and history and all those things that God has allowed and created. I mean, you know, there's things in this world that you and I will never see unless God sees fit for us to overcome and get a resurrection and to see all those things. And, you know, and so it's worth everything that it is to serve God and put everything into it to serve Him. Because He is our creator, and He's our, we can make Him our love also. See, I've heard that you don't want to commit yourself to somebody that only uses you as an option. You know, you see, because if they just use you as an option, you're committing to something that is not worth it, you know. But when you commit yourself to God, He's not an option. He will commit Himself to you. He will, if you can turn to Him, especially in your younger life, if you can turn to Him and allow God to work on your mind and your attitude and your priorities and everything to help you get those in line, which I didn't really have that opportunity to do, but it makes it a whole lot easier when you get my age and I'm still struggling, you know. But God knows our heart. He knows our very intentions of our heart. And I always wonder about that. I think, Lord, is it my heart and my intentions that you keep me around? Or what is it that I've done that you love me so much? Because I feel like sometimes that I fail God. You know, sometimes we get in a position that we let the things that we've done in our past that we Can I get some water, please? Just a little glass, just a little sup. Just a very much, just a little bit. Maybe I can stick a penny in my mouth or something. But thank you, brother. I appreciate that. But I wanted to get up tonight and just let God know that I really do love him. And that he's been good to me this whole year. He has kept me, and he's kept me safe when things has gone on, you know. And, you know, sometimes we let guilt, you know, that is the, one of the, and we should be, you know, sorry for things that we've done. And but, you know, Paul, he murdered no telling how many people. He broke up countless families. And done all these things, but yet God turned that man around. And he allowed him to become a great apostle. And we, sometimes we let ourselves, our own self-conscious, give us a guilt trip and a things that say, well, I just can't serve God, you know. And we let our family and we let other things get in our way. And I do that too. I do it. I let other things get in my life that I make more of a priority than serving God. And I think God, and I know God understands that. I know he understands. But I think maturity is when you finally become and you finally realize that serving God is more of a want to rather than a have to. You know, I know God, I know when I was a kid, Mom and Dad made us go to church. And man, I hated it. I hated it. And I thought, I will be glad when I get big enough to do my own thing. And I can stay home but you know, I didn't get to do that when, only if I played like I was sick, I could stay at the house. I remember one time, I don't mean to get off all over here and there, but I remember one time Mom and Dad went to church, and it was one Sunday, and Dad, we was farmers, we had some cows and farming and things like that, and this was during the strawberry season, and so I was up there in the strawberry patch because those strawberries had been growing, and I was going down there eating me a few. Well, pretty soon there was a car come up driving up the road up there, and I thought, well, here comes a car up the road. What are they doing? You know, man and woman gets out. And here I am. This is on Sunday. Okay, see. So I stayed home from church that day. I was playing sick. Well, I was up there eating some strawberries out of the pack. Dad had 10 acres of strawberries. And back then, people would come in, and you'd give them a few quarts and a carrier, you know, and get out there and go down a row and start picking strawberries. And you got 5 or 10 cents a quart, you know, and that's how we'd buy sometimes our clothes to go to school. And you know, but anyway, I was up there eating, and pretty soon there was this car coming up the road. And they get out, and they said, well, can we pick some strawberries? And I said, no. And they said, well, we know Gene York. I hate to say, you know, my dad's name on it, but anyway, we know him, you know. And they don't really care if we pick some strawberries. And I tried to tell them. I said, no, Daddy don't pick strawberries on Sunday. We go to church on Sundays. And I was trying to, you know. Well, anyway, they just kept on. I said, okay, you know, okay. So they go out there and start picking some strawberries so they can take home. Pretty soon another car come up. Pretty soon another one was coming up. And this other car that came up, second one, they said, can we pick some strawberries? I said, No. I said, because they're just here picking a few strawberries. But no, we don't pick on Sunday. Well, they are, you know. I mean, they was older than me, you know, and they give me this guilt trip. Pretty soon, I had the whole patch full of strawberry pickers on Sunday. I thought, what am I going to do? What can I? Mom and Dad don't like this. I thought, boy. And when they got home, they was mad. But I didn't know what to do. So Dad got around, and sure enough, he let them buy whatever strawberries it was, you know. After that, he gave me a whooping. I thought, boy, I thought, I'll never stay home from church no more. I'll go to church every Sunday. I ain't getting into this. I got a whooping by him. But, and I was just a little bitty kid. I got to get into things like that. And so you can get into stuff and not even be trying. And I understand young people when they get into things. And you know, this world, there's a lot of things in this world is very fun and very creative. And even me today, I'm amazed of all the things that can happen and that you can do and see, because especially after you get over the point of where you've got your children raised and they're all gone and you and your wife sitting there and you, what am I going to do? Well, mama's on the iPad and daddy's on the TV and stuff like that, and you know, they got all the technology, but you know, really? And I do the very same thing. I thought, you know, really, we'll just jump in the car and take off and look at all the trees and all the creeks and the mountains and all the nice-looking pretty things that God has created, and just take a drive and get some sandwiches and have a picnic. You know, forget about everything else and just see this world like it really is. Because there's some beautiful things out there, you know. I'm rambling on, but I got up here to say I love God, and I appreciate Him, and I appreciate what God has done in my life. Even though I every time He tries to do something for me, I squall and bawl and complain. But all in all, God has done nothing but good for me. I mean, every time, even the sicknesses that I went through, God has pulled me through. God has become, and I want to let Him become a bigger part of my life. Because that means more to me is to let God take control of my life. Because if we can get that, if we can get that priority in our life in an early life, then we don't have to deal with it so much as we get older. If we can allow God to take control of our life and let Him get all that we can from Him in an early life, all these other things will come about. I mean, you know, you can find a wife. You can find a husband. Pretty easy. Sometimes you can get them on the internet now. You know, it's very easy. And you can, and when you do, you get extra payments. It costs you money. So you need to have a job. You got to have a house and a car. And I didn't know that when I got married. But I learned. I learned. Me and my wife, I thought we'd live on love forever and ever. I didn't know I had to buy propane for a stove or firewood or get out and find a job, and you're standing out there on a hot slab trying to nail up a wall, and why are you doing it? Because mama's at home and with two little babies and they've got to be fed. So if you want to get married or get a husband, think about that. Or had you rather go fishing? But one thing, it's happy, isn't it? It's the most happiest life you can ever have. It's to live for God. When you live with you and your spouse is in agreement with each other, you don't have to agree on everything, because we don't agree on nothing sometimes, Sandra and I. But we love God. We have our ups and downs, and we have our ins and outs. But sometimes she gets one over on me, and sometimes I get one over on her. You know, it's just whatever day it is. You know, but I know she loves me, and I love her. But if it wasn't for the grace of God, we would not be together. Because I didn't realize that it takes a priority, that it takes a commitment. So are you, I got married when I was barely 18 years old. Didn't have one lick of sense. You know, I thought the only thing you got to have when you get married is a marriage license. You know, I didn't know what was involved in all that. But I learned. Some things I learned the hard way. The real hard way. I remember one time when I was living in Oklahoma, I was working hard. I really was. I was trying. You know, and one day I come in and they jerked my electric meter out of my house. I'm sorry, buzzards. They turned my electric off because I didn't pay the electric bill. Well, I was working hard. I didn't know, you know. I thought, man, these people don't understand nothing. Well, I went out there and very gently. Now, don't you try this at home. I'm telling you. Things I've done, don't you even try them, because they're dangerous. You know, have you ever seen that deal where they say, do not try this at home? Well, this, do not try it at home. I'm not even going to tell you how I did it. But I got power back. And so I went that way for 3 or 4 or 5 months until I got enough money to pay the bill. And then I disconnected, and then I had them come out and put the meter back in. You know? Don't try it at home. And don't call me and ask me how you done it. I'm not telling, because it's illegal. And so, but, you know, that's what happens when you're young, and you get married and you don't know, but you got to have a job to pay for your wife. And, well, it's not only just one kid, but sometimes in just a few years, it's 5 or 6, sometimes 7 or 8, you know. And so you got to take and get your priorities correct and strike and right. You know, the only thing I had when I got married was a 55 Ford. And I don't even know if I had very much money in my pocket. But I was the most happiest man there was on the face of this earth. Because I thought, Lord, God loves me. I was going to church too. And so God is good to us, isn't He? God is good to us throughout our whole life. He loves us, and He wants to take care of us. Remember that the next time you get in trouble. God loves you. Or the next time that you feel guilty, God loves you. Or the next time that you fall down and you're afraid to get back up, get back up, because God loves you. God loves you. But all He wants you to do is just get on your feet and let God take care of the rest. Just like the 3 Hebrew children, they were willing to sacrifice their whole life, and God brought them through it. And God will do the same thing for us if we just will allow Him to. Because He knows our ups and our downs. You know, we can say, well, I'll never do that, or I'll never do that. You know, like you see a person doing things, I'll never do that. Don't say that. Don't say that. Because sometimes God will put you in those positions just to let you know that our britches are getting too big. You know, getting too big for your britches or whatever. But anyway, I didn't mean to get up here and say all that. I really didn't. I just wanted to say, God, I appreciate you, Lord. And if I don't get to say anything else the rest of this year, I want Him to know that I love Him and that He has taken care of me. And He's done all these things just because He loves me.
Well, I was thinking the other day that looking back over my life, you know, I believe God had His direction on my life even when I was a child, because I wasn't like some of the other children. There was a girl in the neighborhood that was cross-eyed, and there was a boy in the neighborhood that had a speech impediment, kind of tongue-tied. And I remember the kids were making fun of those kids, kids, some of the kids making fun of them, and I thought, you know, that's just not right. There's something not right about that. So I feel like that God He gave me a good conscience of right and wrong when I was young, and so I'm just thankful that He did keep His hand on me. And you know, when I came to the body, I had read quite of the Bible, but I don't think I'd read it through. But I knew quite a bit about it. I mean, I knew scriptures, because I remember about 3 years before I came to the body, the Jehovah's Witnesses came by, and you know, if you treat them kind, they'll be back and back. And so they told me, they said, well, one thing about it, you know more about the Bible than a lot of people that we do run into. So I knew something, at least I had some knowledge of the Bible until I got to the body of Christ and realized how little I knew. I mean, Winston Churchill one time, he was talking about Russia. And the same can be said about the Bible, that until you come to the body of Christ, the Bible is a riddle. And it's wrapped up in a mystery, and it's hidden in an enigma. So until you come to the body of Christ, you know, I mean, I can't go back before I came to the body of Christ. I can't go back and think of those things that I used to believe, because it's hard to believe that I ever believed some of those things that I believe. But but you know, Brother Smith, he's only about 6 years younger than me, and so when he talks about how, you know, 50, 60 years ago, the world was different. I mean, it was, evil was more in check, but still there were things that were not right. I mean, of course, we know that discrimination was not right, and I guess we still have more of it today than we realized. But I remember, you know, when I was a kid, I worshiped baseball players. I worshiped the black players just as much as I did the white players, Jackie Robinson and Willie Mays, Hank Aaron. So I worshiped them just as much as the others. But so I knew discrimination wasn't right. But then, like Brother Smith was saying today about this Duck Dynasty thing, I never watch it, but I read in the paper about this Phil Robertson on there, that he made this statement, you know. And somebody said in the paper, Christians should not discriminate against homosexuals, you know. And so that just seems, well, I mean, you shouldn't discriminate, I guess, against the person, but against their actions. But, you know, if we just had about 10 homosexuals came in here and they had no interest in God, and they just wanted to show that we had to put up with them, you know, that would be kind of bad. So anyway, there's, I think there is times to discriminate, and this world is just so sown down with whatever there is, just let it happen. And so, you know, this channel he was on, well, they took up for the gays. They said, well, that's not the way we feel. And then, of course, the gay people, they were saying, well, we're glad you stood up for us, you know. So anyway, it is a terrible, evil world that we live in. I don't look for it to get any better, but I'm just thankful that when I came this way, that God let me see that this was the truth. There's three responses to the truth. You can ridicule it, or violently oppose it, or see the self-evidence of it and accept it. So I'm just glad that when I came here, that, you know, Brother Tucker used to say, with new people, you got to be careful about what you say. But he said, if a person is hungry, they won't get offended by what you say. So when I came here, I was hungry. So when Brother Tucker started telling me things, it didn't offend me. So I just don't know. I mean, somehow God, you know, who knows the mind of God, that why he deals with some people. You know, I can't win my relatives. I can't win my friends. And, you know, it's just, I don't know. The Bible says no man can come to the Father except, no man can come to me except the Spirit of my Father draw him. So anyway, I'm just thankful that God showed me this way, and I hope to continue and stay here till the end, whether it's by death or whatever. So it's good to be here.
Good to be here. Brother Smith is not feeling good tonight. He apologizes for not being here, but we're here. And I appreciate it. There's a good spirit here tonight, isn't there? I feel God come in, and it's been a pleasure. I had a chance to meet Brother Mansfield from Searcy, and we had a chance to visit some and get to know each other. I hope you come back, brother. We're always looking for more people to work on the Ark of God, aren't we? Noah's Ark. And appreciate all the songs. But I really appreciate one thing Brother Jerry said, and I think he feels like, and I like the rest of us do, that this has been a good year to serve God, hasn't it, Brother Jerry? I was sitting there thinking back on some of the good things that we've experienced as an individual, and even as a church. Do you know how blessed we are that we had all those great men of God just a few weeks ago that came here and talked about the Word of God? That's a blessing. I mean, I feel highly blessed and humbled to have been what a little small part of that I was. And then I was thinking, Brother Scott and Sister Amy, they got married here this year, didn't you? They got married, and we had another marriage here. God's blessed this church. We've had good teachings of Brother Smith. We've had wonderful moves of the Spirit. There's been a lot of good things, good seeds of the Word of God that was planted down in our heart. It makes me excited to get up. This year's almost over, and it's been a good year for me and my family. And you say, well, Brother Durham, you were in the hospital 15 days. It's been a good year, Sister Cindy. because I felt the Spirit of God, and I'm in the body of Christ, and I feel like, Brother Jerry, it's good to serve God. It's good to have God in your life and in your family, and it just gives you a good feeling. And I'm getting excited for the Watch Night service. There's a lot of good testimonies, Brother Phil, that we're going to have. Did you ever? I remember my first Watch Night service, and I've always appreciated Watch Night services. I've never been one to adhere to what do they call them, resolutions. I think goals were okay, but I've never tried to make a resolution. Maybe I was just too lazy to keep one, or I made them too lofty. But I appreciate Watch Night services. It helps you to see out the old year and bring in the new. And the first one I ever went to, they gave you 5 minutes to get up and talk. I was telling Brother Joe this morning, he had that nice black, doesn't he look sharp, sitting out there. He had that carnation on, and I said, Brother, I said, you either look like a preacher, and I was trying to think of another word that went with preacher, a P word, and I said, you either look like a preacher or a plumber. He knew he didn't look like a plumber with the suit and the carnation, but he's just done so good, and I'm waiting here and longing to hear Brother Joe get up and for White's Night service and talk about all the good things that God has done for him. And we're going to give you more than 5 minutes. But when I went to I just got saved. I was 16. And the preacher got up and he said, I think they started at 7 or 7:30. And he said, you're only going to have 5 minutes to talk. And I thought, well, that'll be no problem. So I still remember what I talked on. It was in the third chapter of the book of Revelations, the Laodicean church. And I was a real judgmental kind of a guy when I got saved. When I got saved, it was in Southern California, and it was during the Jesus, they called it the Jesus Revolution, the Jesus movement. You'd go around with these jean jackets with a picture of Jesus on the back that said, you know, love and Jesus. And my wife, she has some of the same testimony. We used to go knocking door to door, you know, and we'd hand out tracts. We'd go down to the beach, we'd hand out tracts. We were just, one time I put on, there was two friends and myself, we put on a big come together kind of thing in this college stadium, and we called it Jesus Expo 73. That's when I turned 18. And there was about 60 or 70 people who got saved on that last night. But it was a three-day event. And there was just such an awareness. This was at the end of the Vietnam War. And people's minds and hearts were turned toward God. You know, if you can remember back 10 or 11 years ago, and when the World Trade Towers fell, and people's hearts and minds in that great catastrophe, they turned to God. A lot of people came into the church, but a year or two later, things were back to normal. But this was really in a difficult time in America. And my friends and I, we got together, and we decided we would rent this college stadium. It could seat about 15,000 people. It was huge. And we had people come in and singing groups and preachers, and we had professional athletes come in and give their testimony. And then the last day was it was reserved for this singing group. It was called the Come Together Choir, and it was supposed to be led by Pat Boone. Y'all know who Pat Boone is. He wears the white. He's older than we are. So we hired, we didn't have any money, and we were also going around church to church. And every Sunday, whenever there was a church service, my friends and I, we would go around. We were 17, 18 years old. We were really 17 when it started, and we really put a lot of effort into it. We'd go to churches, and we would ask him to donate and to give financial support, which most of them did, and some did. There was one group, thank God, and they said, our building's paid for. We would like to take your debts over. And we said, you can have them, because we ended up with a handful of bills and a lot of empty promises of people to send money. But the last night, we were going to have this big choir. It was a Christian group, the Come Together Choir. And the leader, who was sometimes was Jimmy Owens, he was another big evangelist, and Pat Boone, they would sing and they would lead people to prayer. It was a big thing. It was in all the newspapers and people. I've talked to a couple people back in that area, and they still remember that Jesus Expo 73. We had to hire security guards. It was a big deal. And we were just teenagers. So my friends and I, you can't have the Come Together Choir sing without Pat Boone. He was, at that time in 1973, he was at the height of his stardom. I mean, he was in these movies and he was in these singing shows. So we found out where he lived. So we hop in our car, the three of us. There were Steve Lawson, Helder Nork, and myself. And we walked up to the front door and we knocked on it. And the maid opened the door, big door. She opened it up. She said, "Can I help you?" And so we're looking in the front. And it was a big mansion. I don't know how we ever got in, to be honest, Sister Cindy. It was quite a deal. But we said, "Well, we're here about a business proposition for Mr. Boone. We want him to sing and host the Come Together Choir." And we told her the date. And she said, "Well, come in." So she led us into the foyer. And the foyer was huge. I still remember it had marble floors, real high ceilings. And it was probably 40 or 50 foot wide. And it was about 20 or 25 foot deep. And the back of it had doors that would fold open, and you could open them up. And on the one side over here, there was a circle stairway that went up. And on the other side over here of the foyer, there was a circle stairway going up to the main part of the house. So Mrs. Boone came in and talked to us, very gracious woman. We told her what we were doing. She said, "I'm sorry, but my husband is booked years in advance." But she did give us the name and the address and the phone number of Jimmy Owens, who we ended up having come. He did it for free. He was a big name musician there, and he did it for free, thank God. So she talked to us for a minute. And about that time, y'all know Pat Boone had three daughters. Did you know that? One of them is still on TV, and there was three of us. My mind was spiritual. Because about that time, the three Boone sisters came down this circle staircase, and they said hello, and they walked in into the back. And about that time, the doors opened up, and the back part of the house was filled with people. I don't know who stars are, but there had to be some big-name stars back there. And Mrs. Boone said, "By this time, I was starting to feel a little bit funny about things." And since we'd already made our proposal, we just kind of wanted to leave graciously. Mrs. Boone said, "We're just about ready to start a Bible study prayer meeting. Would you like to join us?" And my two friends, they said, "Yes." And I said, "Wait a minute, we got to pray about it." She looked at me and she says, "You mean you got to pray about going to a prayer meeting?" I said, "Yes, ma'am, we do." And they looked at me like, "What's wrong with you? There's three of them and three of us." But I took my two friends over the corner. I said, "Guys, we can't impose on these nice people. They've been so good to us." So we went back and we thanked her and she let us go. And it was just a time, you know, that the Lord was being felt by a lot of people. And we had a lot of zeal. And we had We wanted to do things for the Lord. But my first, going all the way back, just two years before that, I was getting ready to have my first Watch Night service. And one thing I want to say, it feels really good being back up behind the pulpit. It's been over 4 months since I was able to talk. And I really do appreciate your prayers and everything. And I still have a few problems, a few difficulties. But the Lord's helping me. It's nothing that can't be overcome, and I really appreciate it. But the pastor of this church said, everyone can take 5 minutes, and you can sing a song, or you can preach a message or something. So I prepared mine in the third chapter of the book of Revelations. And I had several pages. I wrote down notes, and I had all kinds of scriptures. And I thought, how am I going to condense all this into 5 minutes? It's impossible. But I'd never spoke in public before, so I had my notebook there. And this man got up, and I still remember, he talked about King David and his son Absalom. And he got real emotional, and he really did good. And if you talk over 5 minutes, the pastor would ring this little bell. It'd ding, 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 ding. And so the man talking up, talking about Absalom, they let him go over 2 minutes, and he was up 7 minutes because he did so good. And finally, he was up so long they had to ring the bell. It wasn't in this church, by the way. We would never ring a bell on anybody here or tell them to sit down after 5 minutes. But I thought, well, he did so good. It was my turn to get up. So I got up, and I had my notebook full of notes, and I started reading and talking. And I really thought I was hooked up. I thought, man, I'm doing good. In fact, I have been up so long that I was doing so good that they hadn't even rung the bell on me. So finally, when I was just about done, I looked at the pastor, and I said, how long have I been up? And he said, 3 minutes. I thought, oh, my Lord. You know, but I found out that if there's just so much, I used to say when I first came to the body, I really don't have anything on my mind. But I find that it's, if you've been serving God for any length of time, Brother Jerry, you can talk for a long time just on the goodness that God has brought into your life. You can look back over a past year, and you can talk for hours and give God the glory for the things he's done in your life. And I remember one time we were having a revival, and we were supposed to pray for 1 hour every day. And so they had a little board up there, and they had, you know, 1 p.m., 2 p.m., 3 p.m. Well, by the time I got up there, all the good hours were gone. And there was hours like 12 a.m., 2 a.m., so I put my name down there. I was still living at home, wasn't married yet. So I set the alarm, and I think I was supposed to get up at 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning and pray for an hour. Have you ever tried to pray for an hour at 1 or 2 o'clock at night when you really don't have nothing on your mind? I think we could all pray easily for an hour, if nothing else, just to tell God how much we appreciate what he's done for us. You know, this thing I went through, I asked God, why did I go through this? You trying to tell me something? And I really feel like God told me this. I know a lot of people maybe were thinking Brother Durham's going through this for this reason, or it's just happen chance, but I really feel like God told me in my spirit. He said, don't worry, son, I love you and I got your back. You know how much that meant to me? To feel that God loved me that much, that, you know, that he helped me. You say, well, you still went through a physical thing. Yeah, but I came out good. I came out good. My wife got me up, and she started walking me around the ward. And I asked her, I said, honey, have you seen the kind of people that are in here? And she said, we were both getting depressed. I said, put me back in bed. But it's given a lot of empathy with me toward other people. You know, Paul said this, we're to comfort one another with the comfort we are comforted with. I believe there's things that we go through, whether God intends for them to happen or we just go through them by chance. But God comforts us. The things that we go through, Sister Dolores, the things that you went through, God comforts you. And one of these days, someone's going to come along and you're going to comfort them with that same comfort that God gave to you. And you know, and when you start thinking about those things, how God is changing our spirit, how we're no longer taking on that spirit of Adam, but we're taking on the spirit of Christ. You know, just because you have the Holy Ghost doesn't mean that you're like God. You have that spirit down inside of you. But I want that spirit to grow and consume me. And I want to have that same mind, the same characteristics, the same principles, the same spirit in my life that Christ did. So one of these days, one could say, you know, have you seen Brother Jerry or have you seen Brother Weiniger? Boy, they're just like Christ. You know, they got that same characteristics. That's the spirit of Christ that he is allowing to us to be transformed into, that we're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Isn't that wonderful the way God does that? That's something that we love that, but God is the one that does that for us. All we have to do is just say, here I am, Lord, just change me. There's just so much to be thankful for. But I started praying for that 1 hour time, and I told the Lord everything. I thanked him for everything. I spoke in tongues until I couldn't speak no more. I read the Bible, and I looked at the clock, and 15 minutes went by. That's kind of like a little thing. 3 minutes went by. Well, here, 15 minutes went by. I went, oh, it's going to be a long night. But you know, now when we get together and we encourage each other with psalms and spiritual psalms and tongues, interpretations, isn't it wonderful when we come together and God moves in our midst like he did in this morning and the other services, and even the good feeling that we had here tonight of the Lord coming in. It's not hard to go an hour and thank the Lord and let him know how much you appreciate what he's done. Because if it wasn't for God, none of us would be here. We'd all be out on the street somewhere. And I may not have a chance to talk during Watch Night service. So I wanted to get up and say how thankful I am for this year. It's been a good year for me and my family. I've had a chance to witness some people. God's blessed us with... We went 4 years after we moved here before we got a house, but we got a house now, Brother Joe, and we're so thankful for that. I'm thankful for the wonderful pastor that we have, Brother Smith, the way he gives himself over to the Word of God and the way he ministers to us. And I'm thankful for all these piano players. You know, I'd say there's no church in the body that you can look at. You've got 1, 2, 3. You got 5 piano players right here, and all of them wonderful. They know how to get a hold of the Spirit of God, not only just play the piano, but they know how to feel out for the heart of what God's doing. I mean, God's just blessed us. And then the band musicians up here, Brother Paul, I remember when you came in and you brought that little horn there and you started tooting on that thing. I thought, my, we got a good one here. You know, God's blessed, Sister Holly. You know, of course, there's just the 3 of you sitting up there now, Sister Inez. We've got a wonderful band. I'd put this band up, not that we're supposed to compare one another with one another. Paul said that's not why, but we got a good band. And it blesses. How many times have we seen the band strike up a note and feel the Spirit of God come in? That's a blessing, isn't it? And then to have this platform of ministers to get up and minister to us and preach and teach. I remember when Brother Weininger got up here about a year ago and he started talking about the Holy Ghost. And shortly after that, my grandson got the Holy Ghost. You know, we have men on the platform that know what God wants from us. Not that they're just going to read a message, but they feel out for the mind of God. And I'll tell you what, the best testifiers in the body of Christ has got to be right here. I mean, we are just so blessed with the people. I keep thinking it can't be helped. If we build a church of 5,000 people, it's because of the good people, the good foundation that we have here. You know, that's the reason why God brought us all together, was to build something in the body of Christ right here in the city of Little Rock. Something for God, something for his glory. And so I appreciate all those things. And so it's been a wonderful year for me working with all my brothers and sisters. And so God bless y'all. I just love y'all. Thank you.
It's amazing. You get up here and start walking toward this platform, how your mind goes blank. I don't know if any of the rest of you folks have had that problem, but I love listening to these talks. We These testimonies, these people are just human. Brother York, I appreciate you getting up here and shelling down the corn. Lets me know I'm not the only one that's done things like that. I could tell y'all some stories of things I've done to get by. I could tell you, and you might say, don't do this at home. And Brother York, or Brother Durham, is talking about getting out of that bed. But you know, you're a miracle. You already know that. We know Brother Durham is a miracle, and I'm glad he's still with us. I'm glad he's still with us. Now, I can understand him getting depressed and wanting to get back in bed. I wasn't in there. I don't know exactly what conditions you saw when he was in there. I don't know how them people acted. You didn't give us any illustration, Brother Durham. For simple-minded people like me, you got to give illustrations of how what you saw. They were bad? Just leave it at that? Just leave it at that. I know I've had people help me here. I could tell a story on that one. But I love it knowing that you people are just human. I know that may sound funny. And you were talking about our piano players. I appreciate you people yielding your minds over to God. Letting God... I can feel God when these ladies get on the piano. And you're yielding your minds to God. It's pretty obvious. It's obvious. You can feel something. Anytime you shut your eyes and you feel like somebody's putting their arm around you, you know somebody's yielding over to God. Somebody, somewhere. And he's talking about these testimonies. You know, Brother Smith keeps telling us that he's going to come, he's going to be able to read our minds. God's going to give him that ability. But y'all's testimonies makes me feel a little more comfortable. No, because if Brother Smith reads my mind and finds out all that stuff in there, my biggest fear is he's going to tell me, Brother Paul, maybe you ought to sit down here, you know, for a while until we have an altar call, you know. But knowing the rest of you folks are only human like me, that makes me feel a lot better. I don't feel so bad. But here's the deal again. Now, Brother Smith was talking on resurrections today. I really love that subject. I love it because it's positive. Now, I know he was talking on that subject today for people that was here. We had people sitting here that used to be here in our church. And Brother Smith went right down the line. He didn't try to dodge these people. You know, he was talking plain. I don't know how much they heard. You know, some people, all of us, let's just be honest about this. You know, I know you lady folks say that we men have selective hearing. But sometimes I really believe every one of us have selective hearing. We only hear what we want to. And we only see what we want to. You take people and you bring up subjects, a simple subject like bringing up our church to some people. You know, if a person is looking for positive, we'll find it. And if a person's looking for negative, since we're all only human anyway, they'll find that too. And when you bring up a subject and someone says, oh yeah, and then they go down the line, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And the way we think determines which direction we go. Y'all already know that. I'm just saying stuff y'all already know. But you watch people like these people that was here today. They're not here. I know Brother Smith said last weekend, he was talking about me. Y'all know this. But these people are not here because of the way they're thinking. Because of the way they're looking. When all they bring up is something that's not positive, something that's negative, and you can't convince them, hey, but there's good here, then they're going to go in that direction that they're thinking in, that they're looking in, that they're listening for. We had a brother get up here one time, and I read also, you take these birds. There's two different kind of birds that migrate across the United States. There's a hummingbird and a vulture. Well, both of these birds survive migrating east and west. They're going to, when they go across that desert out there, going out west, the hummingbird survives on that flower in them cactus, of all places, cactus. You might think, well, nothing positive can come out of a cactus. But they look at these flowers, and these hummingbirds fly down, and they suck that, whatever it is they suck out of them flowers. What is it?
nectar, okay. That's what they survive on. Them buzzards, they're looking for something dead. And they survive too. It's just according to what they're looking for. Them vultures ain't looking for that nectar and them flowers. That vulture could fly right over them flowers and it don't mean a thing to them. We as people, we can fly right over or walk right over all kinds of good that's happening all around us. Like this touch Brother Durham's got. The fact Sister Crow's still with us. We still got Sister Elsie. That's only the miracles I know of. Sister Bryant, she just had that situation she just went through. We can walk right over these situations and not see them because that ain't what we're looking for. We're looking for bad. And because we're looking for bad, we ease right on out the door. I did it. I'm one of the ones that went out the door. Y'all know I did. I mean, you know I came back. Some of y'all did. Anyway, I went out the door. I was looking for dead stuff. And I found it. It was there. It was here. But you're only human. And if we can't love one another, and watch it like this couple that got married today, you know, we can say all kinds of things. You know, if them two people would look at the good in one another and build on that, just like we're doing here as a church, they can survive and they can go in positive directions. They can even excel. But if they focus on the bad that's in one another, and I'm only human. If I was Brother Mike standing down there, poor Sister Julie would look at me and she'd find all kinds of stuff. It's there. Oh, it's there. Let me tell you. Well, y'all know. I mean, those of y'all that know me. And, you know, the rest of y'all going to find out. But if they focus on the bad, they go downhill. If they focus on the good, they go uphill. Well, it's what we look at. And you might say, well, I don't stick my head in the sand. I'm aware of what's going on around me. Yeah, yeah. But we got to look for the good. Brother Smith was telling us last weekend, this is where he was talking about me. If we see the bad, instead of condemning, if we'll try to help. So, okay, what can I do? Brother Weiniger, I've repented to him again and again for not standing behind him. But, and I appreciate Brother Weiniger. Y'all, I want y'all to know that. Brother Weiniger's a good man. We all know that. Or I hope we know it. I know it. You know, if we try to help, try to pick up the load, Brother Tucker used to give illustrations about wagons, you know, pushing wagons through the mud. You know, instead of, you know, if we're going to drag our feet, at least get on the wagon. At least get on the wagon, you know. Don't be dragging our feet, you know. But anyway, the good. And I appreciate you folks. And that meeting too, Brother Durham. Good Lord. I know, Sister Bryant, you were sick, but Brother Bryant and Sister Karen, oh, let me tell you. And these other sisters, Sister Boyd over here. Where's Brother Boyd at? Is he sick? He's sick? Okay. And Sister York back there. And Sister Holly, for the day she worked in there. And Sister Joanne, she was hit over there in the corner. Didn't say much. You know, she's pretty quiet. But these people are workers. I mean workers. I think Sister Durham came in there for a little while. Several of y'all came in there for a little while and worked. I'm telling you, workers. And that's what makes something work is people that try to push the wagon, you know, try to push it. And we're just human. That's all we are. We're not supermen. We're just what we are, and that's it. But that's what makes me love you folks. That's what makes me appreciate you folks. Piano players, the testifiers, and our ministers, our band. I think it was 2 weekends ago we started a song. Oh, my Lord. And my sister Holly asked me, you know, when the song was over, I said, thank God, hallelujah. Holly said, are you thanking him because the song's over? Well, you know what? Sometimes I am. I'm not going to lie to you folks. I will lie to you, but I ain't lying about that. That's what, you know. Let's just get this straight. I'm only human. So, anyway. But I want you folks to know I love you. I appreciate you. I appreciate this church. God is good. And that wonderful feeling that we feel, Brother Duren was talking about. Isn't that great? I got in my van coming to church a while ago, or earlier today, and it felt like an arm was wrapped around me. You ever felt like somebody was just hugging you? You come to church, I was talking about the piano players, you feel like somebody just hugging you. And you, what can you say? What can you say? You know you're only human, and you know God climbs inside your head. The minister don't yet, but God climbs in our head. He knows what we're thinking. He knows how we feel. He knows sometimes we're not 100% positive like we're thinking. And yet, He wraps His arm around us anyway. He makes us feel that wonderful love. I'm telling you, we serve a good God. Let me say one more thing. This holiday. Now, I know. Y'all know, I ain't no need lying about this. This church has not celebrated Christmas in years. I ain't celebrated in over 30 years. You folks that's come with Brother Smith, y'all celebrate Christmas. And I don't have a problem with that. But I believe if you're going to celebrate Christmas, you ought to at least involve Jesus. I go down the highway looking at these signs, Merry Xmas. That offends me. That offends me beyond measure. And then you turn on the radio, and all you hear is Christmas songs talking about everything but Jesus. And you can go up in the New England states, and them people, I did this one time. I stopped at one of them little diners. I love them little diners. Hamburgers, got everything that's bad for you, I love it. There's a hamburger. Well, anyway, I'm going to talk about that. Anyway, this little diner, I stopped at. There's plenty of truck parking. Went in there and sat down. I want hamburger, french fries, and Coke. Everything that good for me, Holly. Everything that good for me. Anyway, that's why you get up here and talk, so you can tell on yourself. Anyway, this lady was sitting in a booth beside me, or, you know, across over there. Next booth over. And I was just making conversation. I said, you coming here very often? She said, no, it's the first time I've ever been in here. I said, oh, really? That's the first time I've ever been in here, too. I said, I like some of these places, you know. Anyway, we got to talking. She was from that area. It's up in New Jersey. And I was talking about, you know, she said, you know, it's strange you're just talking to me. You don't even know me. I said, no. Yeah, I guess so. Probably is. She said, you're not from around here, are you? No. No, I ain't from around here. And, yeah, she said, so we got to comparing people from up in that area to people in this area. And I know more and more it's getting to where people talk less and less, but we was comparing people, and the conversation went toward the love of Jesus. I said, yeah, you know, the love of Jesus is for people to get along, be sweet and kind. This lady was looking at me with the blankest look on her face. I said, and I kept looking at her, and I said, you do know about Jesus, right? I said, you do read your Bible, right? See, I've never read my Bible in my life. Or read the Bible, that's the way she worded it. I said, well, you do go to church. No, I don't go to church. And then it got, I said, I thought, this is kind of a silly question. I said, you do know about Jesus, right? She said, I've heard of him. This is in New Jersey. I said, okay, the fact that he died on the cross for our sins, you know about that, right? She said, and she looked at me like she didn't know what I was talking about. I said, all right, okay, let me just tell you the story. And I just went down the line telling her the story. And this lady looked at me. She said, that is some story. I said, you didn't know that story? I never heard that story in my life. Well, I noticed in the decorations, in the holiday decorations, they have all kinds of decorations of, oh, you name it, but they're no nativity scenes. Huh? Yeah, Santa Claus and snowmen and reindeer and, oh, the list goes on. Oh, there's even one place up there, hubcaps and, they just, everything but Jesus. I even listened to that radio station. Did I just say that already? No. I listened to that radio station. I heard six songs straight in a row. Christmas songs, but none of them mentioned Jesus. That's all I could listen to. I didn't want to listen no more. I finally got to telling people, they'd say, Merry Christmas. I said, Merry Christmas to you too. And I make sure you tell Jesus happy birthday on his birthday. I was in a truck stop and they looked at me like, you're naming that name? Oh, you know, it's almost like forbidden. Oh, a name that nobody talks about. You know what? We are the light of the world. Brother Liniger told us, he said, that Bible is a love letter written to the true woman, you know, about the false woman. When we read that Bible, we understand it. Don't you thank God for that? Don't you thank God? Brother Durham was talking about having a minister that could break the bread. That ain't the way he worded it, but that's what he meant. Break the bread and squeeze the olives, you know, so we could get that out of there. That love letter is written to us. When we read that book, it's written to us. I picked that Bible up. I said, wow, that's talking to me. Woo! My, isn't that good? Oh, God is so good. Anyway, but I just want people to know why this season exists. Now, I was listening to some ministers on the radio, and they did make the comment. They said, we know, a man called in. He said, I'm concerned. He said, December the 25th is not the birthday of Jesus. He said, that day was celebrated as the birthday of the sun god before Christianity, huh? Okay. Well, that he said it right on the radio. And I thought, I want to hear this. I want to see what these guys say. And he said, I'm concerned that we're not celebrating Jesus' birthday on the right day. We might be more pagan than we are Christian. He said, what are y'all commenting on? What's y'all's comment on that? They said, well, that's a good question. They said, okay, we know, first off, there was grass growing out in the field. So it couldn't have been in the wintertime. And we also know that the shepherds were staying overnight with the sheep. And the sheep give birth in the springtime of the year. And the other man said, he thought it was in the fall. The other man said, well, I think it's in the spring. They said, well, you know, we don't know when it was, but we know he was born. We know he was born. He was here. He came here and died for our sins. We don't know when to move the date to. And they said, and another thing, now this part is just theory. Now, he even said that. The man Constantine, y'all straighten me out if I get out of line here on this one. Constantine, that's the name the man mentioned. He said, at that particular time in history, the pagans were ruling over Rome. The Christians were gaining in number. And it was suspected that maybe, nobody knows, but it was suspected that Constantine became a Christian. And when he decided to change that particular date from the celebration of the sun god to the celebration to the son of God, he made a lot of people mad. Because you got to remember, them guys had been celebrating that date. Oh, I don't know how long, he didn't say. Now you got to remember, them pagans back there, you know that made them mad. They had to have gotten mad. They said, well, the very idea, changing one of our dates like that. And they thought maybe Constantine was trying to convert pagans over to Christianity. And he was trying to do it as easy as he could. That's only a theory. So, anyway, and they didn't know when, they said, we don't know when to change the date to, but we do know he was born. So we might as well just leave it where it is. And I thought about that. I said, that's a good point. That's a good point. That's a good point. Anyway, I just wanted to share that with you folks. I hope I didn't drag you down. I hope you're not mad at me over Christmas, because I mean, I took my son-in-law and their children out to eat this morning. And my wife, she's been so hot at me for ever since we've been married. And I told her, I went home one day after Brother Smith talked about it. I said, "Sally, baby, you know that Brother Mike, we was trying to tell him, Brother Durham, a while ago. Was it Brother Durham? Was you and I the ones trying to talk to Brother Mike and tell him how he's supposed to talk to Sister Julie? Was you the one, you and I? Was he supposed to talk real nice to her, you know, and learn how to say yes, ma'am, again? Yeah, I mean, you lady folks all know that you're trying to train us men like that, train us up in the way we're supposed to go. We never depart from it." But I went home and I said, "Baby, you know, I had to talk slow. I said, I got some news to give you." "Okay, I want to hear it." I said, "You know, we never have celebrated Santa Claus." "Yeah, I know it." I said, "Brother Smith is kind of thinking maybe we ought to lean back the other way." "Oh, I like Brother Smith already." Up to that point, she liked Brother Smith. She liked Brother Smith after that. She liked Brother Smith. You know, Brother Littiger had a saying. He said, blessed are the flexible, for they shall not be bent out of shape. And I don't mind. I don't mind. It don't kill me. I can sell, you know. Now, I'm not telling you folks that I don't, you know, I know what we've been taught. And I'm not veering away from that. But at the same time, I know what kind of world we live in. We live in a world where people... This is I think, is a golden opportunity. A golden opportunity. It's a door that can be opened this time of the year, every year. And we can squeeze it in there. Be sure to tell Jesus happy birthday. We can tell them that. And they might look at us funny. But it opens that door and we can get it in there, you know. Stick our foot in the door, you know. They may slam it on our foot, but we can get our foot in that door anyway. Anyway, I just want to tell you people, I love you. I appreciate you people. I love you people. Y'all put up with me, and I appreciate that. Y'all are good people. I mean good people. When I say good people, listen. In my running around, Brother Mansfield knows this. He drove a truck for years. Brother Bryant, that back here. But I go up in a part of the country where these people do not want to do right. You can understand why in the Old Testament, God would kill whole nation. Just kill them. Just wipe them out. Go down there and kill the men, kill the women, kill the children, kill the animals. You can understand why God would make that kind of a decision. And I know people out here in society, they say, well, you serve a God that wants to kill people? Well, no. It's not His will that any should perish. We're working under grace now. But you can understand why He would have that attitude in the Old Testament. And I'm telling you, I put up with people, Sister. Sister Watson is, she's a minister. I want y'all to know that. She preached to me. What, how many weeks ago was it? 3 weeks ago, and I ain't forgot that message. You know, based on the way we think, I said that we're going that direction. But I listen to these people up there talk in such a way that I'm thinking, my God, what's wrong with these people? They don't even want to do right. Well, first off, they don't know what right is. They don't know what right is. Like the lady that I was talking to about Jesus. Why, that's foreign language to them people. So it makes me happy when I come to a church house where people want to do right. When I gather with people that want to do right, I say, God, you are so good. You are so good. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I'm through. I just want to tell you people I love you. I appreciate you. Y'all good people.
We're talking about a lot about love today, and you know, it's a little bit difficult for me to express myself on love, you know, some of y'all know, but I'll just say it right now. I love Christ. I love God the Father. I love Brother Smith in agape way. I loved Brother Weiner in agape. I still love Brother Weiner in agape way. I loved Brother Tucker. I love Brother Leniger. I love Brother Angelo. I love the ministry we do have. And different ones have mentioned different departments. But I appreciate the PA department. If it wasn't for the PA department, we wouldn't get through what a service. I appreciate the piano players. I'm part of the musicians. I appreciate the usher department. I might be a misdemeanor sometimes, you know, at times, you know. I was a kid at once, and I did some things, and the ushers, Brother Crow used to, well, he's not here now, he used to run me out of the bathroom when I was a kid. But that was our escape route. But I'm thankful he did. I appreciate the ministry here. I appreciate our choir. I appreciate all the the cooking staff during our meetings. The dining room staff, I appreciate them. Brother Tally, you got a hard job. I appreciate you putting up with all the people that you had to accommodate places for them. I appreciate the transportation department. There's so many. I hope I don't miss a department of this church. And I have a lot of love for the people of the body of Christ. Now, to get on, you know, Brother York's phrase, I'm going to say it like Jesse Duke. Just don't get caught. That's the whole idea. If you're going to do something, don't get caught. But I'm thankful that at least we'll all learn from our mistakes. We're only human, as Paul said. And I'm thankful. And then this year, DJ pushed a button at home. So I went to Target, and I bought me a menorah. And I said, okay, if we're going to have this, we'll have that too. But I'm thankful that I know that around October the 14th, Christ was born. But if they miss it on the calendar and they put it in December 25th, it ain't going to hurt my feelings. And I will say the same thing as Paul says. Happy birthday, Jesus. As long as we get a happy birthday out, let's happy birthday it. And I like to see more nativity scenes myself. So I'm thankful that we know what we know and that we'll be flexible and that we'll grow as a local assembly. And I won't get a chance to be here on New Year's night, but I'm here in spirit, y'all. Last Sunday, I was here in spirit. I had to accommodate some Lutherans that were having their Christmas party, and I was accommodating them. It turned out profitable for me, but I would rather have been here than accommodate them Lutherans with their Christmas party. And they did start singing some Christmas songs. And DJ looked over and he said, you do know Christmas songs. I said, there's not everything you know about me yet. And, you know. But he knew that I could sing some of those Christmas songs with those Lutherans. And I made sure that I took a picture of their pastor. And that lady said, most people don't even recognize our pastor. I said, well, I was a preacher's nephew. And I recognize a minister when I ever see one. So I made sure that they got a good close-up shot of their pastor of their Lutheran church, that he was at their Christmas party. And I appreciate the ministry. I appreciate the ministry more than you guys think. Sometimes I might act a little, but underneath I appreciate. And I love this church. Again, I love Christ. I love the Almighty God. And I love the ministers that at least tried to straighten me up. And hopefully I'll have it in my back of my conscience, and I will. I'm thankful to be here tonight.
I know they're going to be playing a song here pretty quick, but we had... I don't want to call them gifts, but we have some things. what do you want to call it, fruit baskets, little candy baskets that we would like to give to everyone here. And it's kind of as a token of our appreciation. So, you know, this has been a good, uplifting service. I love ending a Sunday night talking about love and about the body of Christ. There's not a better way. So maybe we can have a couple announcements before we do this. Brother Smith said we're not having church Wednesday. That's Christmas. There's going to be a lot of people out of town that are traveling. And that's one thing. Hey, I'll tell you what, I like Christmas because I get 13 days off with pay. I love it. Bring it on. We aren't going to have church Wednesday night. We are going to have a watch night service Tuesday, December the 31st. So Brother Smith will be telling us more about it this weekend. So anyway, those are the announcements. So while the ushers are passing out the candy, maybe we can have a song, and then we're going to let everyone go home. But we're going to pray before we go home. So let's go and have a song. Bless y'all.
Think about the good things.
get their thing. Did anybody here not get it? One fruit thing. All right. Why don't we thank the Lord, and let's ask Him to go with us, and like Brother McGowan was saying, let's use this season to love our family and to talk about the goodness of God to other people. He may not have been born December 25th, but they don't need to know that. We'll just talk about the goodness of God and leave it up to Him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness, for your mercy, God. God, we ask that you'd go with us, Lord. Let your Spirit work through us, God. Cover us, overshadow us, Lord. And lead us to people, Lord, that we can witness to and minister to. Bring us back together again safely, Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah.